Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to mention something to you guys that I hadn't thought to bring this up, and it might be because it's still relatively new. So whenever I say new, I mean this is really things that have happened within the last 6 months, the last 3 months, and the last month. So there's three different things that have all happened to kind of combine to, they're all things that I'm doing differently that are really big things for me. And they're things that I've slid back into in the past that I don't think I'm going to slide into again. And it's a negative thing. And so I just wanted to share what the difference was. And one part of sharing it is I think that this could help you too if you struggle with the same things. And these things are things that are typical for people with complex PTSD to struggle with. A little bit is slightly repetitive, just to point out, because I am using that book again, but I'm using it to discuss a different topic. And I'm gonna give sort of a time frame here because I think it'll help make more sense of things. So something happened in October, and I haven't really been specific about that, but I basically decided I have to stop drinking alcohol for numerous reasons. So a big part of this conversation is alcohol, stopping alcohol, talking about the fact that I've stopped before and went back to drinking, but I have stopped again, and I really don't think I will go back, and I'm going to explain why that is and what's different. And it's something that is actually working, and it's been working for 3 months now. It's actually been working since December, so 4 months, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. And there's multiple things going on here, but I want to give a time frame. So late October, I had an incident, and I decided I personally have to stop drinking alcohol. Some people can drink socially, some can't. Some can drink a lot and be fine. Some never drink and they're complete nightmarish people. There's all types of horrible people who drink and don't drink. So, you know, if you're able to be stable in the way that you drink, that's great. I am somebody who should probably never drink alcohol because when I have done it, it is for party, party, party. Or it is escapism. And a lot of times when you party, 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 or you use it for escapism, you black out. And that's been a theme. So alcohol is not something I should be engaging with for multiple reasons. But there's two things that I'm going to bring up that I think really work as solutions. So I'm going to get to that. And these are big things. These are things that have come about in my life in the last 5 months. Well, one of them in the last 5 months, one in the last month. And they're both, it's a really huge deal. If you've ever struggled with this, and a lot of people who do have PTSD or complex PTSD, alcohol is a huge negative thing for them a lot of the times. It can really ruin your life, depending on how you use it, right? And like I said, I'm an escapist with it, or I party way too hard. So I am going to bring up this book. I told you guys about this book numerous times, and you're probably sick of hearing about it, or maybe you like hearing about it. But it's called The Novel Cure, and it's by Ella Bertheld and Susan Elderkin. Excuse me. But again, The Novel Cure by Ella Bertheld and Susan Elderkin. And the one that I have has little blue medicine vials on it. It's like a grayish, bluish cover. So I just wanted to point that out because I don't want you to get a version that is one that I'm not using. I want you to get the one that I'm using. And in this book, there's all types of ailments from depression to being a bully to being bullied to being a misanthrope to, wanting Mr. Right or Mrs. Right or searching for happiness. There's everything in here that's an ailment. And one of them, you know, you might think if you are struggling with drinking, you might automatically think, my problem is drinking. Well, maybe your problem isn't drinking. Maybe your problem is something else. and you're just drinking to cover it, right? So I always say there's things that happen under the tent. And what I mean by that, that's just a thing I made up. So there's things that are happening under the tent and there's things that are happening outside the tent. And think of like a big circus tent. And what's going on under the tent is everything in your personal life that maybe you're struggling with. Everything that's going on outside the tent is superficial. So I consider drinking to be a superficial thing. Whereas maybe major depression is what you're actually dealing with underneath the tent, right? Within the realm of the tent. And that's just how I describe it. It's easy. I'm a visual person. So that's how I say it. So if you look up in this book, and you were to go to what I actually went to first, which I went to boredom, because that's a big problem that would lead to my drinking. But if you go to alcoholism in this book, because it's in here. So this book, like I said, it has ailments and then it has novel cures. So the book is called The Novel Cure. It'll have novels to relate to for maybe why you don't want to drink. And then it'll have novels as like solutions to help you see things differently. And for alcoholism, it has The Shining. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie The Shining, but in The Shining, the guy has, he's not drinking. And in the past, he's been abusive to his son and I think his wife, and physically abusive to his son. And then they go to this house that's haunted and he basically starts drinking again and he turns into a monster. And if you've ever struggled with like major drinking problems to where you're like psychotic, I mean, it's real. It's a real thing that happens. It happens a lot more than people talk about. And then the really key thing that they have in here, so they describe the novels that they recommend. And then on the bottom of each ailment, it'll say, see also, and then it'll point out other things that you might want to look into on the ailment list in the book. So it'll say, see also being antisocial, and this is for alcoholism, see also going cold turkey, see hangover, see hiccups, see loss of libido, see going off the rails, and see sweating. And so one of these might actually be your ailment. One of these, rather than alcohol being your ailment, one of these other things might be, will lead you to the real problem. Right. And I think it was being antisocial led me to eventually being a misanthrope. And the misanthrope thing was a huge part of why I hide myself, or why ever since the event happened when I was 35 in 2017, why I've been isolating. And because a misanthrope is sick of people and they're sick of society. But when you isolate and you have that mentality and you're drinking, it's a really bad combination. So I wanted to point out, you know, again, the alcohol wasn't actually my problem. The alcohol was just making my problem a lot worse. And I want to point out, and that's one reason when it comes to like rehab and stuff, I won't get into that, but I have so many thoughts on, man, the changes that need to be made regarding rehab. But hey, what do I know? I never went to school for that. I'm going to read boredom really quick. So this was my big one. And remember, I already told you I found a solution for boredom in my own life. But I wanted to see what they said about boredom in this book. And they recommended a book called Desperate Characters. And I won't get into what that's all about. You can look that up for yourself, by Paula Fox. So there's a reason they're recommending it. It's either because the main character is bored, they're struggling with boredom and what that leads to, blah, blah, blah. Or else it's a solution. But then it says, see also apathy, dissatisfaction, lethargy, oppressed by mundanity, mental stagnation. Okay. So this is, you know, so whenever I looked at this and I was reading this, I was like, well, that's not really what I'm struggling with. Like this, the way they're describing boredom here, you know, my problem isn't boredom. Again, it all led back to being a misanthrope. The misanthrope thing really is what the problem was. And I think I eventually found that from looking up being isolated. It might've been under isolation or something else, but eventually you find out what it is that's, you know, kind of bothering you. And the reason I bring all this up, and the reason I bring this book up again is because I've brought this book up a lot, right? To the point where you're either getting sick of it or maybe you like hearing about it. I have a feeling you're probably getting sick of me bringing it up because I mention it so much now. It's really helpful though. But the reason I bring it up is because my current confidence building that I've been doing, it did not come from me simply stopping drinking. And that's the whole point of me doing this episode right now. Just because I stopped drinking back in late October, you know, I have to remind myself, my confidence did not come from that. You know, stopping drinking is great, but if you can't figure out what could lead you to start drinking again, or how to prevent that, or the solution for that, you may very well start drinking again like I did last year. I had stopped in 2021 through most of 2022, and then I started again drinking in the fall of 2022. And I drank off and on through 2023 until I decided to stop because of a situation in late October. And I would probably go back to drinking, let's say a year from now, if I didn't have a different way of seeing things, which came from this book. That's why I bring this book up. And also, if I didn't have my cure for boredom, my own personal cure that I came to. So for my New Year's resolution for 2024, I always start my New Year's resolution about 3 weeks before the new year. Because if I start it right on New Year's, it'll probably fail. You just sort of fall into a mindset with the rest of the people around you. And a lot of people who start a New Year's resolution on New Year's, it fails about 3 weeks later or 5 weeks later. So I always start mine 3 weeks early and it always works. So I started this in December. I thought, you know what? I have to find a cure for boredom because I started where this came from. I started going to counseling, a personal counselor. We talk about my complex PTSD. We talk about my drinking, blah, blah, blah. And we fill out a form. And it always said on this form, it has all these questions like, what led to your drinking? What led to this problem? Blah, 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 blah. And one of the options on that form was always boredom or being inactive or whatever. And every time, you know, I would look at, because there were several options, you know, what led to this, you know, boredom was the big one. And so through counseling, you know, that word boredom came up and I already knew I struggled with boredom. I work two jobs, by the way, and I'm busy a lot. But when I have those 3 hours, two or three nights a week, just 3 hours, just, you know, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. If there's a 3 hour spot where I'm bored and not doing anything, my mind races like crazy. And that's when I would drink. And that's when, you know, I could black out or whatever. And it was really just escapism. I would drink to escape, but when you black out, you don't know what you're doing. And so you could get in trouble. And so through counseling, that word boredom, you know, I needed to address it. And even in counseling, we were talking about things. But I was like, I need to do something. Like I have to figure out a way to do something about this because this can't happen again. This incident with drinking I had in October, I was like, this can't happen. I have to find a way to do something about this. And it's not going to solely be in counseling because I'm not going to be in counseling for the rest of my life here. I'm not doing that. And so what I devised was, okay, the public library is a place you can always go to, right? And it's free. You get a library card. And what you pay, I don't know, $20 a year for a library card. Or actually, if you live in the county or in the town, it's, you know, you just get one. You just sign up for one, right? If you don't live there, I think you have to pay for one. So I live, you know, not all that far from my public library. You know, it takes maybe 10 minutes to get there. And it's huge. It's a huge library. You know, I live in a city. And so our library is pretty big. I think a lot of libraries are pretty big, but I was like, I have to find something that can be reliable, that's free, that's not going to cost me money, you know, that I can just go to, and I need a resource that I can count on. And I thought, okay, there's always the library, you know, how can I utilize this? And I thought, you know, there's all kinds of things that I'm interested in reading, but I thought, I wonder what else is on those shelves that I could be learning. And even if they sound like topics like computer science, you know, like things I don't care about or something I have no interest in, I was like, maybe I could just read it anyway. And I thought, I have to have an organized plan here for this. I can't just go in and be randomly picking books from random shelves, because I just feel like that would feel crazy. I don't know how else to describe it. But I thought, if I go in nonfiction, because I want to learn real things, if I go in nonfiction and start at shelf one, like the first shelf, that's like book 001, you know, just start on the first shelf and go pick out 3 to 5 books per shelf and just skim them. Just see what I can kind of, you know, get the gist of. Like, what's the gist of the book? Or what's a few really cool things I can get out of this book? And I got to tell you, it works. It's a cure for boredom. It works because you can go there anytime you want. I mean, as long as they're open. You can go there and just take books back, get new books. You know, they see me like 3 times a week inside the library, by the way, which is fine. It's a nice, big, quiet place. It's kind of therapeutic in a way because it's peaceful. It's quiet. It's almost like a therapy office in a way. And you can, where at my library, they have DVDs too. So if there's like a historical thing or documentary or something, they have a massive amounts of DVDs. So even if you don't have, you know, well, if you have a DVD player, you can just watch them. But the books going shelf by shelf has worked. And so that's like, that was my actual cure for boredom. And that is a key piece to all of this, because if I didn't have that, it's one of the things. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't have something to conquer the boredom. And the boredom is a big thing that would lead to drinking. Now, so I'm providing you the 2 solutions here. That was the first solution, is to conquer your boredom if that's what you struggle with. And I know it's what a lot of people struggle with, especially if you isolate. The other thing that is a key solution that makes me not want to go back to drinking is confidence. So building my resilience to my low self-esteem, which again came out of that book, The Novel Cure. Because in the book, there was something about fear of confrontation and something along those lines. But fear of confrontation and procrastination. Procrastination is a big thing I struggle with. And that could be procrastinating about getting into a relationship, about dating. It could be procrastinating at like your job, procrastinating about addressing somebody about something, right? Because we like to avoid confrontation. And so procrastination, I think, is what led, it was either procrastination or fear of confrontation. One of those two led to low self-esteem. And I might actually get that book back out to look that up just to make sure, because I want to tell you the right thing here. But the low self-esteem, I never would have thought was a problem. I would not have thought of all the things I struggle with, even though I do struggle with, you know, I used to have really bad depression. And I have also thought probably 10,000 times in my lifetime, thoughts of, you know, ending my life. Which, by the way, if you are, you should always go to a counselor and talk about that with somebody. But I've literally thought of doing that 10,000 times. I'm not exaggerating. So if somebody struggles with that much depression and that much thoughts of harming themselves, you would think, maybe something's wrong. Maybe they struggle with low self-esteem, right? And it never crossed my mind that that's what I was actually struggling with, which sounds really crazy. I would never think that I was struggling with low self-esteem. I wouldn't have thought it. But I'm actually going to work in reverse here. So the main thing that led me to low self-esteem. So if you look in the book and you look up feeling like a failure, because I've told you guys one of my big triggers is feeling incompetent. And in a lot of ways regarding like relationships and just regarding like where is my happiness in life? Feeling like a failure. I'm so glad that they listed that in this book, because feeling like a failure is what led me to low self-esteem. And low self-esteem, there's a book called Rebecca. And Rebecca is all about a woman who compares herself to her husband's first wife. And then she finds out the first wife wasn't as wonderful and great as everybody thought she was. So she was comparing herself for no real reason. And even comparing herself was a sign of low self-esteem. She should have just been herself, right? And been confident. But that's what led me to low self-esteem was one of my big triggers, which in here they label it as feeling like a failure. Because I think I was actually looking up feelings of incompetence or feeling incompetent. And there's another one in here. I think it says feeling like a fool. But feeling like a failure, I think, was bigger. And so it led me to that. But being able to know that it's low self-esteem, then you can actually fix it, right? When you know what the problem actually is. And the best way to build your self-esteem is to find hobbies that make you happy. Like real hobbies that make you happy. Not hobbies for an image, not hobbies to be venting or because you're angry, you know, not a hobby to get into because you just want to smash it all up. Like a hobby that brings you genuine happiness. And, you know, one of those for me is collecting coins, because you can learn about history through coins. And I studied history in college. So that's one of mine, is collecting coins. So I've been reading books again, not books, magazines from the library. You can check out magazines, and they have magazines on coin collecting. So if there's some kind of a hobby that you want to check out, like a book or magazine about, the library is the perfect place to go get books about it, right? It's free, you know? So when it comes to the two solutions that are going to prevent me from going back to drinking, one of them is that now I've actually been building my confidence and I feel different. I feel different. I really do. I feel more confident. And it's a very weird feeling, but a good feeling. Like I'm actually seeing things really differently. And I told you I have something popping up tomorrow. It's something that's I already knew it was coming up, but it's a situation that I know I would normally handle with behavior stemming out of low self-esteem. And I'm actually going to change that behavior tomorrow when I see this person, and I'm going to handle it from a place of confidence. And I have no stress about it. You know, I can just tell that my mind is thinking differently. Like I'm literally thinking and viewing things differently. And it's a weird, strange, good feeling. You know, now my mindset is almost like, you know, why wouldn't I be in a relationship with somebody? Whereas before, coming from a place of low self-esteem, my mindset was, oh, what if they learn about this about me? Or what if they don't like this friend? Or what if this? Or, oh, I might as well just give up and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Let's just not even bother with it. You know, let's just chill out and watch TV and forget about the world. I'm not thinking that way anymore. I'm thinking very differently. Like, well, why wouldn't I be with somebody? Whereas before, there would be so much second guessing and so many excuses to not actually attempt to like date somebody or be with somebody. I mean, it was second guessing and excuses extravaganza, like extraordinaire, you know, just over the top. So this was a time frame. This was a process of events that came about that brought all this about. So stopping drinking, finding a new resolution, which ended up, and I had to find something for boredom, which stemmed out of counseling, but also just my own awareness. You know, I had to find something for boredom, and that was the book reading. So, and with the book reading, the way that I'm doing it is I'm not picking up books I want to read. I'm picking up books that are there on the shelf, always in the same order. And I'm just seeing what I can learn. I'm learning new things rather than racing to a section of books, reading 10 of them, you know, things I want to read 10 of them. And then all of a sudden you're bored again because you've gone through everything that you wanted to read. But the way I'm doing it, I have no idea what's coming next. I don't know what I'm about to read next. And quite honestly, I don't know that anybody could ever read fully every book in nonfiction at the library. Like, it's something you could do, you can use it for years. You know, maybe you could do it every month, check out 10 books. Although you have to return them every 2 weeks, but so every 2 weeks, you know, check out 10 books or 2 books or 1 book. I don't know, whatever your pace is, but it's the fact that you're learning something new. That's the key thing there, when it comes to the books for boredom. So again, having my cure for boredom and having the confidence, cause me thinking more confidently, it's almost like, why would I want to go and get drunk? Like, why would I want to do that? Like, why would I want to risk blacking out and making a fool of myself or something? I'm just not thinking that way. Like, I'm not thinking the way that I used to, which was escape, 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 you know, running from everything, running from my problems with it. So I just feel very different. And I just wanted to point out, it's not just that I stopped drinking. That's not why I feel more confident. The stopping drinking really had nothing to do with it. The stopping drinking is just something I needed to do, right? It's outside the tent. The things under the tent is what I needed to handle, but the drinking was just a coping mechanism or something. It was just something to fill the time. Whereas now I use the books to do that. So it's, you know, I have something to fill the boredom. So again, it was a combination of things here that came together, but the cure for boredom and the confidence, you know, I don't think a confident person is going to want to drink themselves to unconsciousness, right? Because that was coming out of a place of low self-esteem. That was coming out of a very destructive place of low self-esteem. And also just feeling like I couldn't get a grasp on why I was doing the things I was doing. And again, that's where this book has helped so much. So I'll just repeat the title again. The Novel Cure, From Abandonment to Zestlessness, 751 Books to Cure What Ails You by Ella Bertheld and Susan Elderkin. So there you go. I just wanted to cover that because it was a really important point to make there regarding, you know, it's not just stopping drinking. Because I think if I had just stopped drinking and thought, okay, problem solved, you know, I don't think it is. It wouldn't have been solved, right? It wouldn't have been solved. So there was more going on that had to solve it from ever happening again. That's the point. This is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.